Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, April 25th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, lawmakers try to lure a mystery business to the Iron Range. A Minnesota House panel takes up legislation today to begin implementing new federal standards for driver's licenses in October, Tim Pugmire reports.
State officials say a real ID startup this year would cost up to $5 million, but the cost would likely drop if the legislature waits for a multi-year switch to a new licensing computer system to be completed. Federal enforcement of the standards at airports will start in 2018 unless the state gets an extension. Republican Representative Dennis Smith of Maple Grove, the bill's author, said he'd rather not wait.
We feel that's really important so the residents of our state can continue to travel commercially, still have access to federal buildings and our military bases.
Under Smith's bill, all newly issued Minnesota driver's licenses would be real ID compliant. Some lawmakers still want a non-compliant option for drivers concerned about the personal data collected through real ID. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A Minnesota Senate committee will consider a bill this week to make changes in the governance structure of the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. The legislative auditor recently issued a report showing numerous operational deficiencies at the Regional Economic Development Agency. DFL Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach said his bill reverses an IRRRB governance change that lawmakers made in the 1990s. Bach said decision-making authority would shift from the board to the commissioner and the governor.
Our Senate attorneys tell me that this will address the concerns of the legislative auditor. I had them draft the language for me with the legislative auditor's remarks being the premise for drafting the language. So they tell me this will take care of it.
A Republican-backed House bill seeks to abolish the current IRRRB, create a new advisory commission, and require legislative approval for spending decisions. The Minnesota House votes today on a small supplemental budget bill for K-12 schools and colleges. House Republican leaders set a zero target for education because they want to use all of the $900 million budget surplus for transportation funding and tax cuts. Still, the combined education measure spends about $55 million that comes from an early repayment of some school district loans. Republican House Education Chair Jennifer Loon of Eden Prairie said she's comfortable with the bill, which includes money to help schools hire and retain teachers.
We were able to provide a really good level of funding for schools in the budget we passed last year. This $55 million is some grants to cover some specific needs that we've identified in the interim. But the schools will be in a good position coming into the next budget year.
Senate Democrats are proposing to spend an additional $100 million on schools, including $48 million from the surplus. The Senate plan includes money for pre-kindergarten, teacher development, and school counselors. Minnesota lawmakers and state agencies are working on a multi-million-dollar incentive package to lure a major manufacturing operation to the Iron Range. They're touting the promise of 250 good-paying jobs and entry into a potentially lucrative industry. One catch, lawmakers and economic development officials won't say what the company is. Brian Baxt has more.
Hoyt Lakes Mayor Mark Skelton is thrilled an industrial park in his town is being sized up as one potential site for a siding production plant that might land in northeastern Minnesota. But even he's somewhat in the dark about the company state legislators and development officials are working to recruit.
I know something's going on, but I don't know exactly what's going on.
After another stretch of tough times in a town dependent on a boom and bust taconite industry, Skelton says a new wood products venture would be a morale booster.
I can't tell you. I mean, that would be huge. Anything that would employ people like that would be huge for us. So maybe we could get a smile on folks' face again. So.
Democratic Representative Jason Metza of Virginia says Hoyt Lakes makes sense because it has rail lines already going into the preferred site. He says locations in Grand Rapids or an old potlatch plant near Cook are possible, too.
We feel like the workforce up there, with employment the way it's been, is geared perfectly for this type of work.
All state officials will say is that it's a very large publicly traded company experiencing exponential growth in recent years and searching out expansion prospects. Steve Peterson is Director of Development for the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. His agency is assembling a financial pitch, along with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. It's not yet entirely clear how much the subsidies would total.
We're hoping that our efforts will indeed attract this company to locate in our region. And it's very exciting to see this opportunity for us. As you know, we've been struggling a little bit up there, so we're hoping that...
He's been testifying at the legislature, where the push is on to free up money and provide other breaks. Democratic Senator David Tomassoni says there's no time to lose.
I know that Michigan is vying for the company as well as Canada, and so by making the money available now and letting them know that it's available for the infrastructure that that it would be used for, it's sending a potential signal for economic development.
It's not the first time Governor Mark Dayton's administration and lawmakers have worked to line up subsidies under a cloak of secrecy. In 2013, for instance, they resorted to using the codename Project Fern when discussing tax breaks and grants for a pharmaceutical company that turned out to be Baxter Healthcare. In this case, the DFL Senate's budget plan authorizes annual payments of up to $3 million a year. The production payments would be based on the square footage of siding produced started in 2017, and they would phase out in 2035. They're structured like subsidies that Minnesota ethanol producers received in the industry's early days. Lawmakers are also considering a sales tax exemption for materials used in building the plant. And there's a bill to revise, replenish, and rename what has been called the 21st Century Minerals Fund so processing plants like the one envisioned could qualify for awards. The legislation's sponsors include Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach. The Minnesota Timber Producers Association says it doesn't support the subsidy legislation unless officials can prove there's enough wood on the auction market to supply current and future demand for the milling industry as a whole. Association President Wayne Brandt says the fear is other producers could get priced out.
Loggers are not culturally anti-cutting more wood. They tend to be strongly for that. But, you know, they also lived through and saw their friends and neighbors go through pretty devastating circumstances.
The subsidies are written so at least 80% of the raw materials used in the plant must come from Minnesota. Tomassoni says there's a good reason.
It's intended to be able to incentivize a company to make sure that they get their lumber from the area and they use it in their siding business. I'm not at liberty to tell you who the business is, but at the same time, it could be available for other companies that might decide to go into the siding business also.
Even if lawmakers approve the assistance, they'll have to wait to hear if it's enticing enough for the mystery company. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.